Hello, everybody. I am Caden Gibson, your host of Baseball Talk. Today, I am accompanied by Conrad. Conrad, how about you introduce yourself?
All right, guys. Well, Caden, thanks for having me, first off. But my name is Conrad Hansel. I am a junior here at William Woods University. I'm a left-handed pitcher on the baseball team, and I am a biology major with an emphasis in pre-medicine.
Sweet. That sounds pretty complicated in my opinion, Conrad.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to be talking about something that I'm sure a lot of you maybe not know of too much. It's science behind baseball, behind the game, and basically helping players develop. Some people are into it and other people are not so much. So Conrad, I just want to have you maybe give them a rundown of kind of what the science is that players use, and tell us some of the science that you use when training to become the best athlete you can.
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, when you think of baseball, you think of a lot of it's like old school, hard nosed, your dirtbag type players, who just go out there and just try to outcompete everybody. But really what we've gotten into now is that really we're seeing that there is we can use science and technology and mathematics that are actually going to help us become the best players that we possibly can. And so a lot of it that that I've really discovered in the past few years, it has to do a lot with kinematics, so kinesiology, as well as biomechanics, and just learning basically how to move your body efficiently using, like I said, kinesiology, and just how your body moves. So what I've learned from myself that helps the most is basically what you're trying to do is, like I said, move efficiently. So when you say move efficiently, that means you want, the cleanest arm path possible. You want to land with your hips open so that you can get over your hips. There's just so much that goes into it that it's just learning to move your body the most efficient way possible. So it's there's a lot of people that, they just want to get like big and strong. And that's we're drifting away from that into finding a weight training and a throwing program that is most conducive to you, so that you're just able to still need to be strong, but it needs to be efficient so that you can move efficiently.
Yeah, for sure. I've started to learn that when in hitting wise, I just with Kevin, I just got into hitting with him, ladies and gentlemen. And basically he's a major in kinesiology, and I've started to learn how to basically use my body to produce enough to hit the ball harder. Actually, I've ever since working with him, really starting to use the science and technology in baseball, I've progressed a lot, using cameras and technology like that while having the science behind it of your body movements. It really helps. I mean, kind of, you're not exactly the tallest, biggest guy on the field, but you still can throw hard and stuff. And I'm guessing a lot of that is behind the science that you use.
Yeah. So I did a lot of my work with P3. It's a program out of St. Louis. They emphasize in biomechanics. So they do a lot of imaging with basically high speed cameras that basically go frame by frame to show you how your body is moving. And that's one of the biggest things that you can do in baseball now is to see how your body moves, because I mean, that's what allows you to make changes. So it's getting past the time where you just can go out and throw and you're like, wow, that felt really good. You need to have, your objective quantitative data, which is going to tell you exactly what you need to know, it's something we're moving towards. And I think that it's all going to be for the better.
Yeah. Of course there's those guys that walk out there that are naturally born 6'7", that get up there and throw absolute smoke. And it's crazy to think that those guys that just kind of naturally throw like that, once they're getting into the science technology, I mean, it's only going to produce guys games that maybe not even really be into it. What type of – does your university offer any type of science or, technology to your players and to help you guys progress?
So, we're – basically at William Woods, we're a smaller university. So, what we work with, what we have, You look at, you know, the bigger schools, they're able to have, you know, your Rapsodos, your Edutronic cameras, your semi-motion devices, your all these things that are able to give you exact feedback. But especially here, I think it's more of like a collective unit as the coaches meshing with the players like us, to kind of get on the same page as to what we're seeing. And I mean, there's so many guys in our program right now that have an understanding of where baseball is going and what we're kind of looking for to develop. So even with the guidance of our coaches, I think we're able to mesh pretty well to find out where we need to be, even without the expensive equipment that we just don't have the means to have.
Yeah, you know, for sure, when you think of, like, at least when I think of, like, you know, science, technology, and baseball, you got to think of some pretty pricey stuff. You know, I know hit tracks are, they're over like 10 grand. Yeah. How much, do you know how much, roughly, about how much a Rapsodo is?
It's the lowest price that we could have got it for here at Woods is going to be about $7,000. Jeez. Which, yeah, we don't really have that. Like I said, would it be super cool to have that and to just have everything, I mean, that we can do with that? Yeah, it would be super cool. But what we use here, actually, it's a lot cheaper. It's called a pitch logic ball. Basically, mm-hmm. what it does is it's within a standard deviation of accuracy of a Rapsodo, meaning that it's fairly accurate, which gives you, you know, your spin rate, your velocity, all that kind of stuff that you're looking for in a Rapsodo. And it's super cheap. It's only like $200 compared to the $7,000 that you'd have to pay.
Yeah.
So it can give you that instant feedback that you need, and it's still going to be pretty accurate. So that's something that we've been using here, and it gives you a lot of feedback with it. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, you know, personally, like, I've had the privilege to use a hit tracks on basically every week. I go and use the hit tracks, use the technology behind that to see, you know, launch angle, how hard I'm hitting it, cameras to see how my body's moving. And I've also had the privilege to use a Rapsodo a few times, and while I'm not going to get up there and throw the hardest, my ball's not going to move the most, it's definitely something cool to, you know, get to experience and get to really see your kind of your success and what your metrics are. You know, it's pretty crazy stuff to see.
Yeah, and so, like, going off that, like, even so, the information that you get back, you know, even me as a guy, you know, who's you know, only going to be throwing in the mid 80s, I can see what my ball does. And that's going to help me be able to see how I need to pitch. So, like, for me, mm-hmm. I'm a high spin guy, meaning my fastball that's at like 84 is spinning at like 24 to 2500 RPMs. So that would be right in the range of MLB average, and the MLB mm-hmm. average velocity is 93. So what that tells me is that the perceived velocity, as it's spinning so quickly, is that it looks a lot faster. It looks like it gets on the hitter actual faster. So what that does when you spin it at that high of a rate for a fastball, it kind of tells you where you need to pitch. So people who are higher spin guys are able to pitch up in the zone just because it has that appearance that it actually is taking off and is kind of spinning upwards. Versus, you know, your guys who throw at lower RPMs, which kind of, when you hear the term, like, someone who throws like a heavy baseball, what they're really saying is that it's not spinning. It's kind of like more of a tumbling ball. So those guys that have those low spin rates aren't going to be able to pitch at the top of the zone like high spinners, but they're going to get a lot of success going low in the zone. And they're probably going to be more of your, you know, typical ground ball pitchers, just because that ball is just so heavy and it just kind of sinks down.
Yeah, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, those guys that have the higher spins, that causes their ball to maybe move more, even on the fastball. Like, the more it spins, you might get that run, that cut or something on any type of pitch.
Yeah, so it really all depends. So usually when you see, like, total spin, which is, like, if you see spin rate and they, you know, you have, like, that 3100 or the 2900 or something like that, they're talking about total spin. So that kind of just gives the appearance that it has, like, when people say it has late life to it, it's basically saying that it's just, it literally looks like it is going up towards you. Like, it is a rising fastball. But people that are spinning kind of lower, that's where you see it. It looks like almost like with your spin rates, like I said, you know, the higher spin guys, it gives you, you know, your your so-called like late life is what they would say in kind of like the old baseball terms. Basically, it just looks like a rising fastball versus your lower spin guys, who it's just going to kind of look basically like the appearance that it's heavy, just because it's literally, it is the gravity, because it's not spinning enough, is actually kind of pulling it down more. So it literally is a heavy fastball. It is kind of sinking. Mm-hmm. But what you were saying about like, you know, the cutting and the two seam, you get into kind of other types of spin. So there's something that's going to be called rifle spin, which actually gives you like, so if you know, like a rifle, when it shoots a bullet, your bullet literally spins in really, really, really tight circles as it goes.
Yeah.
So that rifle spin is actually going to tell you like which way that it, you're actually cutting, or the fastball's running. So for me, a positive rifle spin means the ball is actually going to be cutting. It's going to be moving to the right. Whereas like a negative rifle spin means it's actually going to be running or going into a left-handed hitter. So it's, it's just the different types of spin. It just lets you know kind of what you can literally tell what the pitch is doing just from the spin rates itself.
Yeah. You know, that's just, it's crazy that now we have the technology to to show us. I mean, it's crazy to think that maybe those guys, Randy Johnson or somebody like that, that back in the day was just gross back then. I wonder what makes you wonder what people would be like. Those guys would be like, now with the technology like we have.
Yeah, but the technology and training, I mean, there's literally, you have no idea what they could be doing. And like, honestly, I'd love to see how fast, you know, Nolan Ryan was spinning his fastball. Like that thing. That thing got there quick. Like he had, I mean, I'm talking like 29 to 3,000 RPMs. It just got on you quick. Or, you know, someone like Sandy Koufax, breaking ball, how it would drop about 6.5 feet. Just, I mean, it's something crazy like that. I just love to see, I'd love to see what it's doing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I know it's your favorite. It's my favorite player. One guy that I really know of that is using technology like this and really starting to get it out throughout the league is our Trevor Bauer. I know he's known for doing crazy stuff like this. You know, what are your thoughts on like the technology he uses involving like plyo balls, the shoulder tube, and just stuff like that?
So if I'm being completely honest, Trevor Bauer is the guy that kind of put Driveline on the map. You know, he's the first high profile player who's found tremendous success in the MLB doing this kind of stuff. And I mean, it's guys like us that are kind of catching on and seeing, you know, if we're seeing this success, you know, with a guy like Trevor Bauer, we want to try to replicate it. So, you know, his plyo ball routine, he does, so he uses them as warm up, as recovery. And then when he gets out of season and his off-season training, he also uses them for his velo building. And it's basically easier on the arm. And it's really cool to see. I mean, if you look at a guy like Trevor Bauer, I mean, by no means is he, you know, a freak athlete like this.
No, he looks like a dad.
He does. He's, you know, he's kind of got a belly on him. He's not super strong, not super tall. I mean, there's just nothing about him that screams, you know, professional athlete. But it's stuff like this that he's able to use. I mean, he's a tremendously smart guy. He was an engineering major at UCLA. And he finds ways that he's progressively getting better. And I mean, he does even beyond like just his training. You know, he tracks his metrics every single day, so he knows, you know, how recovered he is, how much sleep he got, what he needs to do more. And it's so crazy that he's able to do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a guy that's like, I saw Trevor Bauer's success and I went out and bought a thing of plyo balls, you know, and just I've got on the Driveline and some of Tread stuff. And that's another one. I don't know if you're as much of like know too much about Tread Athletics and what they got going over there, but I have a few things from them. But yeah, I've basically seen a guy like Trevor Bauer's success and seen other people's around, and it's crazy to think that something of so much technology that guy uses to get to the where he's at. I mean, if you look at him, like you said, he's not a giant jacked guy that's going to be benching 300 pounds and squatting an absurd amount and is jacked, and then but can still throw absolute gas compared to where you got Michael Lorenzen out here, Marcus Stroman, who's just can barely walk through a doorway but can throw smoke.
I mean, what it does is, like I said, so there's the science and mathematics. I mean, they're never wrong. Like you can't debate something that is mathematically correct. So when they're able to use this kind of stuff to prove, like, yes, this is what you need to do, and if you do it, you will see success. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's the only foolproof thing that we have in this world. And I mean, the fact that they're able to find it and correlate it to, you know, throwing a baseball and how that makes you better is just, it's revolutionary. It's so cool to see.
Yeah. You know, it'd be really cool to be a guy, I mean, I don't really know of, but Chase, who was on the first episode of the podcast, he played summer ball, and one of his coaches was the analytics guy, basically was doing all this mathematical and science stuff for the Orioles, and had a Rapsodo and all that. And it's just crazy that, you know, you got teams that are paying guys to basically come in and use this mathematical and science stuff to help their dudes progress.
It's the fastest growing industry in sports at the moment is analytics. I mean, if you are good at math, it is and you love sports, it is something that is, I mean, so great to get into, because I mean, it combines everything. There are so many jobs out there for, you know, people that can, like, kinesiology majors, pitch design, people that are good at mathematics, you know, analytics, player development, scouting. There's so much stuff that you can do with the knowledge of the science and mathematics that can correlate to a baseball field and can make you really successful. I mean, you saw people like, you know, the Astros, you know, we get into their, you know, their whole cheating scandal and whatnot. But I mean, Jeff Luhnow, who was an assistant GM for the Cardinals or was in the Cardinals organization, I don't know exactly what he did, but, you know, he takes over for the Astros. He takes, you know, it's the R&D, research and development approach to it. And he gets their guys and he just develops them. I mean, purely based off of his, you know, his resources with his technology. And you see so many more teams now that are kind of buying into that. You know, the Reds are huge into it now, Phillies and the Giants. And I mean, the Astros always have been, and even the Cardinals are kind of getting into it when they signed Jeff Albert as their hitting coach. But it's taking the league by storm. And I mean, I you've seen Moneyball, haven't you?
I've seen parts of it.
There's a quote in it, and it's adapt or die. So it's, if you are not on board with where baseball is moving, then you're probably going to get left in the dust, because these guys figuring out ways to just outcompete everybody else. And that's just where the game's moving to.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about the major leagues, but let's drop it down to maybe a high school, for example, or middle school. You know, you've got these high school kids that are getting exposed to this. Even, I mean, me, I'm a freshman. Even in eighth grade, I was exposed to this. And I think about my 10-year-old brother who's going to be exposed to this coming up. I mean, it's crazy to think that these high school, middle schools, even grade school kids that are getting exposed to this technology, it's going to make some pretty good freaking ball players in the future.
At those ages, it's not even that, like, I've said this so many times, if I had like a son right now who is like, you know, 6 or 8 years old, basically what I'd tell them is, I want you to throw the ball as hard as you can whenever you pick up a baseball. I want you to hit the ball as hard as you can whenever you swing a bat, and just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Because like, if you train yourself to actively try and throw as hard as you can every single time and to hit the ball as hard as you can every single time, it's only going to make it easier down the road that if you do want to stick with baseball and you get into it, you've already programmed your body into that movement pattern of, I am max effort, you know, from throw one to throw 100. Yeah. Now it's time that I can fine tune it, and you're going to be pretty special doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think of myself, basically didn't have any of this going up until eighth grade year. And, you know, I like to think of myself as just an average baseball player. And I mean, I've hit this after getting this basically getting this technology usage to help my game. I mean, it's been night and day different. And for me, and I'm only a freshman in high school, and I mean, it's crazy what it's doing to the pros, to the college guys, and even to the high schoolers, and how I mean, most ball players, if you're into the travel ball, into it, I mean, you're getting exposed to this, to this technology now. I mean,
the best thing that you can do as an athlete at this time is basically, if you read, DriveLine puts out so many free peer-reviewed articles that, I mean, they work you through everything. They walk you through everything that you would possibly need to know. Like, it's, I've learned so much just from sitting down, reading the articles, seeing what they're saying, and then going out and trying to apply it myself. I mean, the internet's so cool. There's so much information that is readily available to you. It's, I mean, it's, there's, it's so easy now. Like, you have everything at your fingertips. Like, I don't know if you're on Twitter or anything, but Pitching Ninja, Rob Friedman, he has a Dropbox.
Yep.
So, like, files upon files of just pitch grips, like, sitting in his Twitter bio right now that you can click on, and any single pitcher that you could possibly think of, like, for their nastiest pitch, there's probably a picture of it in that Dropbox, which is, like, it's just free information. It's just all right there. Like Trevor Bauer's slider, Trevor Bauer's curveball, like those are on his Dropbox right now. That if you wanted to go learn how to throw that, I mean, it's right there for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's crazy just the stuff you basically got at your fingertips to up your game. You know, it's something that for sure is taking the baseball world by storm each and every day. You know, If you come into St. Louis, Missouri, and you were to go to all of the average to above average clubs in Missouri, I guarantee you each one of them have at least one Hit Tracks and one Rapsodo. I mean, I know my club has it, the Gators, the Prospects. I mean, all of them have it, that basically these clubs all around the United States, and I'm sure maybe even into the foreign countries, they're getting these athletes, these technologies, the Rapsodos, the Hit Tracks, to basically up their club.
Yeah,
up their,
like, I mean, it was
game.
3 years ago when I was training at P3 in high school. I was a senior, and this was at the time where they were training out of the sports barn, so right off Highway N. And like, if you played for the Missouri Gators during that time and you were in their like high school program, you automatically got with the like playing for club. You got the membership into P3 also. And I just like looked at those. I was just thinking to myself, well, I was like, you guys have no idea what like you're getting to do it. Like, I wish I would have had that as a freshman in high school, just to have that kind of guidance and the knowledge of like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. And like, just the atmosphere that they create there. It's so cool. It is so cool to be in baseball right now, because I mean, really the sky's the limit for everyone. Like, if you want to make yourself the best player, there is no reason why you can't.
Exactly. You know, you mentioned the Gators and the thing with P3 and those technology. I mean, I just got word that the club I play for, we're going to – you know who Christian Little is, right? Vanderbilt. I just got word that – I mean, his dad is doing our throwing program. We're going to use Rapsodos, and this technology, man, is
– Yeah, that's what I thought. So are you guys doing it through Ace?
I don't know. I think it's really just his dad that's going to be running it. Kind of, he's just going to come out to our high school and stuff. And I mean, this technology, it's going everywhere. You know, I've never really trained with it like for over a winter and during training season, but to have this, this Rapsodo, these plyo balls, the Hit Tracks, to have all this technology around me this winter, I'm so excited to see basically where I go from now into this winter. It's truly crazy.
You're
in
such a good spot because, I mean, you know, your brother Chase, he's got such a great understanding of, you know, how your body needs to move and how, you know, what you need to do. And I mean, that's what just knowledge in general of how knowing how to do these things it's the most important thing. Like you said, there's you go to any city in the country basically right now, and there's some kind of baseball player development around there. I mean, like St. Louis, we have, we have Ace, we have P3, you know, Seattle, they have Driveline, Texas down in Dallas, they have the Texas Baseball Ranch, Louisiana, one of our players here at Woods actually took a gap year and trained down there for a whole year. I know the Chandler, so like the Phoenix, Arizona area, there's a satellite Driveline place. It's just, I mean, they're popping up everywhere just because there's such a high demand to develop players. It's something I'd really, really love to get into with a medical degree.
Yeah, you know, that'd be that having that medical degree, that I mean, that'd be sure cool that you did it as a living, because I mean, you're doing something that you love, and you're doing something that you love, which is baseball, and you got that degree, and I mean, it'd for sure be something really fun to do. You know, so basically, with like, I honestly just sitting here, it just still blows my mind all the stuff that they're coming up with each and every day. And it's this technology is also like, we talk about Trevor Bauer's throwing program and these plyo balls, the wrap shows, all this stuff is also helping guys stay healthy to help them pitch longer. I mean, if you look at, I'm just going to keep using Trevor Bauer, but if you look at the technology he uses with the, what are the things called that like, they look like bats on his legs that his he uses normative. After he pitches. Yeah, that he's got the blood.
Yep.
It takes his blood and it spins it, and it sees what his body's got to do.
What is the? It's some type of protein in his blood. Basically, what it does is it shows how well his body is recovered, like how much trauma is still is how much, because that's what blood does. It circulates, and that's kind of what leads to healing your body. So with this certain protein that's found in, if there's high amounts in it, that means that you've experienced a lot of trauma, so your body's not really recovered yet. And so what he does is he tracks it every single morning, and it tells him, you know, where he, like, exactly where his body's at. Because, like I said, you can wake up and be like, oh, I feel good today, but he has an objective number that he has established that is saying, this is where I need to be to actually know that I am good. And I think that's where we're moving towards, is just this objectivity of having – you know, numbers that tell us where we are, and, you know, we kind of need to hit those. Or you can't just go off of feel anymore. And that's kind of what we're moving away from, which is, I mean, it's keeping players healthy. It's making them better just because it's proven. It is a concrete something that will let you know that where you are.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue the science.
It's proven
math.
Right.
And,
It's like fighting. You're not going to win the argument. I promise you that.
No, not at all. And I mean, Trevor Bauer is just one example, and that's really just one guy I know of, because he shows it. He shows everybody what he does. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there's so many more guys that are doing this.
His teammate in Cincinnati, TJ Antone, he was a rookie this past year. He was 88 to 91 last year. Goes down, works on, you know, moves.
Yeah.
Basically, they said he moved from lifting heavy weights to still lifting heavy, but just not as heavy, just more efficient movement patterns. And what does he do? He comes out and he's, you know, 95 to 97 in a single off season. Like that's a tremendous, I remember watching his first outing, on one of the Reds broadcasts, and they're like, and they were reading the scouting report. They're like, oh yeah, he's 88 to 91. And his first pitch comes out at 96. And they're like, oh, okay, and then the next one's 97, and
what the heck?
Like, okay, maybe we got our scouting report wrong. Yeah, it's because he worked his butt off and he made some changes.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even like, so this past winter with the whole kinesiology body movement thing, we did weightlifting every practice, but it wasn't heavy weights. It was doing stuff that it helps your body get strong, but also keeps
functional movements is what
and
you
movable.
Look for. So stuff like, you know, your deadlifts, which is your posterior chain. You can, you know, talk about your single leg lunge. You just need, you know, foot stability, ankle stability. You can, like what I did is I had to switch from, you know, a typical military press is just, you know, as an overhead shoulder press to I do more, it's called a landmine press, which, it's not so focused on like your actual shoulder. It incorporates your shoulder and then also some of the smaller muscles that are known as your stabilizers, which helps you have a healthier shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just, you can still do weight with them, but it's just getting to the point where you're optimizing your functionality.
Yeah, you know, like we do a lot of trap bars to really work a lot more. We do a lot of sled pushes, just stuff that basically we're using heavier weights, but we're keeping our body movable. And basically that just is crazy to think that whenever you think of weightlifting, heavyweights, you think of big old dudes that can't fit through a doorway. But this new technology, this new era in baseball and really just athletics all alone is you're getting these guys that are strong and muscular, but they can still move. I mean, you're getting these guys, I guess, I mean, you could use even off of baseball. You got like LeBron or somebody who's just huge, but can still run. He can still jump. You got Michael Lorenzen, who pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
Absolutely just jacked, but can still throw baseball.
I had a pretty significant elbow surgery. I tore my UCL last winter.
Yeah.
And coming back from it. So what I did was I read a lot.
And you have the technology to help you heal.
One of the people that was really big with it was one of the trainers I used to work with. His name's Forrest Herman. He worked at P3, and now he's a pitching coach in the minor league, the Reds minor leagues. And so there was a book he actually gave me to read. It's called Movement Over Maxes. And what it does is, it's like we want you to, you know, be as strong as you can, but you need to be able to be as functional as possible. So it's really cool to see. And like, you probably hear the term, you know, mass equals gas. So you think of like your bigger guys are going to throw harder, which in theory is true. If you're able to move your mass fast, you're going to throw harder because you're looking at your force output.
Yeah.
And the equation for force is mass times acceleration. But when you see is like with bigger people, they just can't move as fast. So that's why they're not throwing as hard. So you have to find the optimal range of how big you want to be and how fast you can move. And that's going to be how you create the most force, which allows you to throw the hardest.
Yeah, you know, me being I'm a smaller guy. I'm not exactly jacked or big, but I can move. Everything moves well compared to where I got a friend that I go to school with, and that as one of my good friends who's a great baseball player, but he's bigger. He can't move as well as I can, and it really shows that the more movement you have,
not always the case. If you look at a guy like CeCe Sabathia. You know, big old, you know, he's, let's call, yeah, he's fat. He's
big boy.
He was a fat dude pitching. But what you Bartolo see with those Cologne. Guys is, especially with CeCe Sabathia, is when he tried to lose weight, and what he found out was that he sucked when he lost all his weight because he wasn't able to move his body as efficiently at a lower weight, which is kind of counterintuitive. Like, you wouldn't think that's what would happen, but that's exactly what it happened. Mm-hmm. So he had to gain all his weight back, and that's when he started to have success again. So like it's finding what is optimal for the athlete. And like it's not the same for everybody. And that's where, you know, technology, you know, your movement screenings, your physical assessments, your throwing assessments come into play, because it literally will give you your plan of what you need to do.
Yeah, you know, my club, we had this thing. Basically, we kind of did like a showcase just to see where we were at. And we were running the 60. And they had basically this thing that kind of, it was crazy. Basically, you would run and it would just pick up a bunch of stuff about your running, how far your stride is, stuff like this, your movement patterns. And it was just to have technology like that.
Yeah, kind of it's by really, my side.
It was kind of really crazy.
Cool to think about.
Yeah. You know, you got your perfect game, your PBRs. What do you think of those for people that don't know, PBR, Prep Baseball Report, and Perfect Game, they basically are, you go to these things, they're called showcases. You basically, they get your data and that you showcase to them, and they put it on a website to help you get noticed by college. Do you think that those companies are going to start upping basically their science and their technology to expand?
They were some of the first people to start doing it. Like, I mean, they partnered with Diamond Kinetics pretty early on. They did it, you know, really often before a lot of other people were. It's really all different. I mean, they use Diamond Kinetics, where I guess they could use Rapsodo, they could use TrackMan, they could use something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really like saying, you know, is one better than the other. I mean, you can make cases for whatever, but they're still using it, and it's giving you objective feedback that you can't really get anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's just, you know, having that. So what, you know, you hear of, like you said, your drive lines, your other ones. What do you think, your personal opinion, and it doesn't have to be anything you've used. It can be something you use, something you've read about. But in your opinion, what do you think is probably the best company for that uses the science and technology to help baseball players?
The people I worked with at P3 were absolutely amazing. I learned so much about, moving functionally and lifting my arm path with Forrest and, you know, Steph Simmons and all those guys there with, they were amazing. But I mean, the leader by far is Driveline. You know, they were the first people to do it.
Yeah.
And they're still probably doing it the best today. They produce so many. What you look for in science is peer-reviewed articles, meaning that you produce something and another expert in the field can look at it and say, you know what, you are right. Like, that is accurate, what you are saying. And they come up with, you know, peer-reviewed articles. Mm-hmm. They post blogs all the time. They tweet so much relevant information that a lot of other people just really, like, they just aren't doing. And it's Driveline, mm-hmm. by far is just what they do.
Yeah.
It's the pinnacle of player development.
Yeah. So, I mean, that leads us into our sponsor here, ladies and gentlemen, Driveline Baseball. Use code Baseball Talk for 20% off all of their training stuff to, you know, use their technology, become the best baseball player you can. So what is your favorite science to use? Like, if there's one thing that you could go for, you out of anything that you can use, what is kind of your go-to, your big thing that you're just going to, you're going to attack on a daily basis
to
help you become the best player you can be?
Every single day is I use my plyo balls in my warm-up routine. They're huge in getting my arm path, where it needs to be. So I do a bunch of different drills with that. And that's just every single day. I do my reverse tosses. I do my pivot picks. I use it to keep my hips open, to get my arm to lay back. I use that every single day. And I also use it for recovery. I've found that, recovery routine I use with my plyo balls with, proprioception, force acceptance, on like a mini tramp, it helps me, and my arm feels significantly better every single day. That's what I use the most, is the plyo balls on a daily basis.
Something that you said really got my attention, and that I've seen around, but I've never personally used it, and hearing you use it, I kind of want to maybe get some of the viewers to hear about it. The trampolines, yes. I believe you use the plyo balls on. What do you exactly use those for? I've seen them around. I've never used one. And so I just would like to hear somebody that uses one and what they're useful for.
Which basically is you doing a movement and you kind of get like the immediate feedback of what that movement does. I do is I cup my baseball and I release straight down and pronate, and then it hits off the mini tramp and I catch it at like with an extended arm. And that's just force acceptance in itself, meaning when it comes back up, I can catch it, and it's bracing my arm and it's helping it recover that way in an active way. And then I also do it by laying down, and I kind of do a TY and I with it, where I just dribble one of the plyo balls on the trampoline in a T position. Okay. And then I move my arm up to a Y, and then I move my arm up to an I. And that's just for shoulder stabilization with proprioception.
So as you said, you had to get a surgery that you lost your sophomore year season, right? So what I want to hear, so basically, How do you think that having the technology by your side help you recover better? And what technology did you use other than, like, obviously you got your doctor stuff, but what technology for baseball
did you use
to help yourself?
The biggest thing that I found out with it during my recovery, I had about four screenings done. So that's basically figuring out where my body mm-hmm. is and what kind of deficiencies I have in that. So with that, I found out that my hips were bad. I could not open up, and basically this was causing my shoulder to leak, my elbow to leak, and that's where a lot of the torque and the force was actually going towards, which is why I had elbow problems. So we were able to clean that up through all my therapy. It actually, most of my therapy wasn't even arm-related. It was to getting my body moving a lot better than it was before. But the other thing that I really use, it's called a Modus sleeve. So what this does is it's like, you know, a typical arm sleeve, and it has a sensor that kind of goes right on the elbow or right above it, or no, right below it, like right below your elbow joint. And what it does is it tracks the amount of torque that is put on your elbow on each throw. And what this allows you to do is allows your therapist to actually kind of build an individualized throwing program for you based on the amount of like a torque that you put on your elbow on each throw. So what I found for me is that when I threw long toss, I put a lot of stress on my elbow. So what we did was we kind of took out all of the long toss that I do just because it was harming my arm more than it was doing good. So we transitioned more to, I was about 90, I would go out to about 180 to 210, 210 feet. And that was basically where I would cap it. And then as I would come in, I wouldn't do my pull downs until I got to about 90 feet, because we found that that is the kind of distance where I don't know exactly what it is with my body, but where I kind of slow down and I'm still able to make pull down throws at max intent. But it puts not as much effort on my not as much stress on my arm.
That's really cool to hear. That's pretty crazy. I mean, I have guys on my team that whenever I have to catch, you know, they're let's just try to throw it as far as we can and play long toss. And I'm like, dude, I can't even get it halfway there. My elbow's hurting
like
so
I said,
bad.
Yeah. Like, I mean, some
it's
people
not,
can,
I can't do
like,
that.
It works for them, but in other people, it doesn't. You just got to find another way. Yeah. So that's how I kind of use my other, like my plyo drills that can supplement it as my velo building.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had this big, tall, lanky lefty on our team that'll play long toss for 15 minutes and super far, where I'm getting it barely halfway there. And I'm like, why? And then, but then, like, that's something that, you know, just, like, he's realized and has learned. Basically, that helps him toward me whenever I'm going for a start. I basically will get just over 60 feet. I'll probably go no farther than 80 feet, and I'll stay about within 60 to 80 feet, and I'll kind of go through my delivery as that's like I've started to realize that that's what keeps the stress off of my elbow and kind of helps me get
warm. Yeah, that's
get
what you're trying to do is just
and not feel bad.
You don't want to make competitive throws in a non-competitive environment. I mean, it's just putting unnecessary stress on your arm that you're I mean, you're going to need – it's basically – you need to save your bullets, you know, when you actually need them.
Yeah, so as Trevor Bauer, a lot of pros use, I use, you use, I'm sure majority of your guys and your team use all over the college level are plyo balls. For ladies and gentlemen, you guys don't know, plyo balls are basically they're rubber and they're sand filled, right? Yeah, so they're sand filled balls at different weights. So you got your 2 pound. I have a 2 pound, a 1 pound, 11 ounce, a 9 ounce, 7.5 ounce. 5 ounce, 3.5 ounce.
Yeah, it's about
ounce.
So.
Kind of
correct
me if I missed
black,
any.
Black, green,
but
blue, red, yellow. Silver, gray.
And so basically, there are these weighted balls, and then you got balls that are lighter than an actual baseball. And you use them, like he said, to warm up with, to before a start. You can use them to gain velocity or on recovery days. So. You have different exercises, as you said, pivot picks, the reverse throws, rockers, walk-ups, different stuff like that, that, you know, helps your arm get loose on start days, or you got stuff that'll help your arm gain velocity and get stronger. What to you, what if having that type of side of stuff available to you, Conrad, have you noticed a big like increase and like has it helped you a lot?
Yeah, having so that of just using
open to you
plyo balls themselves. I mean, like I said, what they're used for is just so you can have a better movement. So if you have a better movement, it's obviously going to lead to, you know, mm-hmm. higher velocities. And it's just basically, I mean, you know, so you can move better and it just conditions your arm. And I mean, just the use of those in, you know, my everyday routine, coming back from the injury and even before my injury, I mean, I ticked up in velocity and I do think that's what it is from. I think it helps me get my arm into a position where it can move efficiently. And then I'm just able to throw better with it.
Yeah. I mean, I've just started getting on them and I haven't, I got on them this fall and I used them days like before I started. And even then, like, I felt that even not on start days, but just throwing, I felt my arm, it feels a lot healthier and a lot better. And having that available to me, I mean, for sure helps. And like I said before, I mean, that's a guy that honestly I saw you doing it, Andrew Fife, just college guys, and I saw Trevor Bauer doing it. And I was like, well, shoot,
yeah,
these dudes helping these guys. Might as well.
Like I said, that's what it's for. I mean, it's really cool that, you know, there are people out there that are, you know, like you were able to see, you know, some of like us, our older guys that are doing it. And, you know, you see people that have success with it. And then you have your guys like, you know, Trevor Bauer, who's, you know, running a vlog and showing, you know, exactly how he does them and how it helps him. I mean, it's really painting them in a better light than what, you know, you just hear. And, you know, kind of the mainstream is like, oh, they lead to arm problems. Oh, they do this that are bad. But it's kind of decriminalizing them and giving them more legitimacy.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you see a guy like Trevor Bauer who's throwing plyos every day and using all technology. I mean, he's stayed injury-free, and I think that once more guys in MLB get on these plyos or anywhere, get on these plyos and get on this more technology-based, you, like definitely. You said before, you're going to see a lot more healthy ball players. So that's a lot of the baseball science we have. So now I just got a few things. Let's talk about some pitching free agents as we do in every episode. We talk about just free agents. So number one, we got James Paxton. What are your thoughts on James Paxton? Where do you maybe see him ending up in this free agent market?
He was nails in Seattle, and then, you know, he kind of had some injury problems in New York. I could see him re-signing with New York. I could see him letting him walk. My guess, I mean, I know Atlanta is a pitcher away. They're getting Mike Soroka back. You know, Max Fried, James Paxton, Soroka, Ian Anderson. I mean, Kyle Wright, that's looking like a pretty solid five. I can see him landing in Atlanta.
Yeah, I could honestly partially see him ending up with the Rays only because of the fact that, as we saw, Tyler Glass now. He's their number one, and the Rays maybe need that other piece. And they're not. Yeah, and Snell. And they're not exactly paying very much for their starting nine. So I'm sure they got the cap space over there. And so it'd be interesting to see where he ends up. We actually have already talked about this guy in episode one, but I want to see where your thoughts on him. Where do you see Trevor Bauer going? You know, he's a one-year deal guy. Won't sign anything more than that. I saw in his vlog today that he's got a nice little bet with his friend that he signs over one-year deal, then he gets shot the paintball gun. So don't see him going anywhere over a year. But where
overwhelming
do you think
favorite
up?
Is going to be an LA team or a California team, San Diego, or probably the Dodgers.
Yep.
It's going to be one of those two. But my dark horse, what I would like to see happen is I want him to see him sign with Philadelphia, because they're one starter away.
Philly, really?
You pair him with Nola, and then, I mean, that 1-2 is pretty good. And then, you know, they might let Realmuto walk, but, I mean, they still have some dudes in that lineup. I could see him going to Philly also, and, you know. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, but their bullpen's freaking terrible.
You know.
Maybe they should go get bullpen guys.
That's my dark horse. That's like my, my outside shot, but I mean, it's just, it's something to think about. I could really see him just just signing with my overwhelming guess is San Diego.
Yep, that's you know, if you listened to episode one, ladies and gentlemen, you would have heard that me and Chase both said, a West Coast team somewhere in California. I would honestly agree. I could see him ending up in San Diego. I have a feeling he's going to go pretty hard with them. It might Mike not Clevenger. Seem like a lot, and but they also so got young. His best friend, Mike Clevenger. Yeah,
they're so young, too.
I and think he kind of used really as a leverage. Like.
I can see San Diego.
Yeah, and, you know, I would – anywhere I see Bauer, I would love – I mean, I don't really care where he ends up. Love the dude. He's freaking hilarious and a heck of a pitcher. I mean, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I would probably love to see him in SDL, but we all know that's not going
to
happen.
I'd do a lot to have him in St. Louis, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I said this to Chase on the first episode, and if you really think about it, it really wouldn't make sense. Say we're in a perfect world and, you know, the Houston Astros don't decide to cheat and they don't, and Bauer doesn't have this beef with Houston. You know, them losing Gerrit Cole, them having Justin Verlander, having Verlander with Tommy John issues. I mean, you don't know where Verlander's going to be next year, if he's even going to be able to play. So if they didn't have such a bad history and so much beef, you know, I could have seen Bauer.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, you know, they're Houston, a heavy analytics team. I mean, I could see it happening. It's just, there's no shot it's happening anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. if you know anything about baseball like and that, you know there's no shot.
You look at, you know, you have Bregman in that dugout. You have all those other guys, Altuve, and you're like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Altuve, Correa, yeah. Nope, not going to work, considering he's has made countless memes and T-shirts and shots at him in momentum vlogs. You know that's not going to happen.
So
for our last guy, Liam Hendricks.
I'm going to be honest, I think he's going to re-sign with the A's. They usually don't spend a whole bunch of money, but I don't really see him going anywhere else. I don't know. It depends on what the Yankees do with all their other back-end guys, with Britton and Chapman, but maybe the Yankees – I mean, they always go after and pay relievers, so, I mean, he might go there. Boston could be a pretty interesting place for him, too, just because, I mean, their bullpen is terrible, and it looks like, I mean, they're at least going to feel the competitive or at least a more competitive team than they had this year, so that could be interesting as well.
Yeah. Maybe he might end up in Philly with that they terrible bullpen and try to help him out.
That'd be pretty exciting.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. So we got the World Series going on. Who do you got?
All right.
How many games?
So I'm in and who's your MVP prediction right now? Because, you know, I want the underdog. I want the Rays. You know, there's so much to like about them. You know, they have $28 million on their payroll. They have so many guys. I love Glass now. Just, you know, throws the baseball harder than anyone I know. I mean, their bullpen's lights out. Arozarena, such a great story. But, I mean, on the other side, there's Clayton Kershaw, who, you know, I grew up watching, who I loved forever. And it absolutely would break my heart if he retired with not having a single ring. So I really want him to win one.
Yeah.
I think he's 33.
I think he's only like 33.
But either way, I mean, this might be their best shot, and I'd really like to see it getting done. But besides that, I got Rays in seven. I got Rays in seven. I got
Rays. Wow, Rays in seven. That's a new one.
I have Brandon Lau getting the MVP. I think he hit a home run already earlier tonight, but he's been struggling this entire postseason. I think he breaks out, and I think he takes the MVP.
Yeah. I had Dodgers.
Like I said,
six. I feel like so many people have that.
I'm going more hopeful. But I could. Yours is probably more correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I have Cody Bellinger or Corey Seager.
I mean, pretty good there.
Yeah, you know, they both have just been so good. Another thing, kind of yours, what has been one of your favorite series
honestly,
to watch?
Honestly, last series, the Rays and the Astros. Oh, that was such a fun series. I mean, you know, Rays go up 3-0. Houston battles back. There's so many good tight games. I mean, it was so cool to watch. You know, you had Tyler Glasnow warming up in the ninth inning of Game 7. But Pete Fairbanks, you know, a St. Louis kid, went to Webster Groves High School, went to Mizzou. Yep. Yeah, closes it out. So that was really cool. I mean, that was probably the most exciting series we saw the postseason. So.
Yeah. So something I kind of remembered back on to what we were talking about earlier with technology is obviously he said earlier that he pitches in college, but I knew you used to hit in high school.
Brett Gardner, that's an old one.
You know, you got the pro comp of Brett Gardner. did you ever use any technology
driveline hitting
in high school
for a whole summer, and it really helped get my bat on plane. I started off my senior year really, really bad. I was like hitting like .120. But then the last few, the last 12 games of the year, I ended up turning on. I hit like .410, with 8 to 10 extra base hits during that span. So, I mean, I saw it, like I said, it helped me.
Dang.
And I didn't see the results at first, but you know, you just got to keep sticking to it and trusting that, you know, what they're telling you is right, and it ended up working out for me. Nope, you can't.
For sure, like we said earlier, you can't argue with science or math. Hopes that maybe you get
I've been bugging Fletcher
a
whole bunch, you know. I just want an at-bat. That's all I want. Before I leave here, I want one at-bat.
Just one. Hey, man. You never know. Maybe that is good old – drive line and the technology used back in the day could help you now. Yeah, so I think that's basically all we got left. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me about this. Something that I've really just gotten into and loves to talk about, and definitely is helping me, hearing it help you and so many other guys. I just want to say thank you for taking the time. I know it was about an hour.
Yeah, I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks
thank
for
so
taking
much
the time
me.
To jump on here
great
and
talk,
talk
and
with
talking
me.
Baseball and, you know, it's just a great talk. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you learned something. I know I sure as heck learned a lot by sitting and listening to you. Any hopes that maybe you do something like this in the future for a career?
Isn't really so much baseball related, but more of like treating people that had similar injuries to I had. But if I could get into baseball with that as, you know, some kind of team surgeon or team orthopedic specialist, I think that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And I mean, you've already seemed
like
you've got a nice little grasp on what's going on. Oh, you for sure do. You definitely taught me a lot of things, and for sure taught a lot of the listeners some stuff. So just once again, said thank you for joining me and talking and teaching me stuff and all the listeners.